May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn number 936. 936. Through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue employ. Hymn 936.
Let us read together from the Holy Word of God in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians and chapter 1. The first chapter of the Epistle to the Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy as our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfil the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labour, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word.
Let us now sing hymn number 300.
300. How simple are thy children, Lord, unskilled in what they pray. Full oft they lift a hearty word, yet know not what they say. Hymn number 300.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty, most merciful and eternal God, we do desire to bow before thy great majesty, to call upon thy great and holy name. We do desire that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide upon us as we gather around thy word today. We pray for the divine power of the Holy Ghost to open our hearts, to open our ears, to open our eyes, that we may be able to see, that we may have a spiritual insight into the Word of God and the truth of God, that it may be with us as the dear apostle desires, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And we pray, Lord, that it may be so today. May the power that brings salvation be exerted in the Word. Lord, we come as poor sinners. We are the fallen sons and daughters of Adam. We are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We truly feel from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. There is no soundness in my flesh. And Lord, we prove it to be so. That which I would, I do not. That which I would not, I do. I find a law within my members that when I would do good, then evil is present with me. Gracious God, we so often have to cry out with the dear apostle, O wretched man, that I am. Gracious Lord, we pray that thou wouldst come and deliver us this day from this wretched self and from that sin that dwells in our hearts, that corruption that is within us. We pray that we may be delivered through Jesus Christ our Lord, and that the Holy Spirit may be so present in our assembly, and the word of the Lord may be a living word in our hearts, sealed there by the Holy Ghost. Blessed divine Spirit of truth, we pray for thy heavenly power. We pray for thy divine unction. We pray for that sacred anointing in the pulpit and in the pew that thou alone canst give. And the word records that it is thou alone that can convince us of our sin and show us what we are as poor sinners before a holy God. And thou alone canst take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us. Oh, gracious God, we pray that it may be so, even this day. We pray, O Lord, that thou in thy precious mercy wouldst grant thy forgiving love in Jesus Christ. And blessed Spirit of truth, work precious faith in each of our hearts, that faith that worketh by love, that we may be attracted unto Jesus Christ, the Holy One of Israel, the Eternal Son of the Eternal Father, that was made flesh and dwelt among us. We thank thee, O Lord, for the wonderful glories of Jesus Christ. We thank thee for his holy life, his sinless life. The law has been fulfilled and honoured and magnified in his glorious person on the behalf of thy people, thereby bringing in everlasting righteousness. And we do desire a heart of gratitude, of thanksgiving. We would enter thy gates with praise and with the voice of thanksgiving for all thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses that have passed before us in the way. We thank thee, most gracious God, for Gethsemane, where thou didst lay the sin of the church. Thou hast laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And we desire, O Lord, a thankful heart. How willing was Jesus to die? Oh, we bow in thankfulness before thee for Calvary, for the precious blood of the Lamb, for that glorious sin atoning sacrifice, for the rising of Jesus from the dead. Oh, that it may be with us even today. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. He is not here, he is risen. Oh, we do thank thee that we worship a living Saviour who has the power of an endless life, who has bodily ascended into heaven. We have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And we desire, O Lord, a thankful heart for thy loving kindness and for thy goodness and for thy glory. Oh, that it could be with us today, for we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Lord, we do pray for truly thankful hearts, for our great high priest, for that wonderful atonement that has been made, for the new and living way made into the holy place. We thank thee for the infinite love of our eternal Father. Oh, most gracious Lord, grant to us this day, as the apostle expresses it, for God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Oh, to know that, to experience it, even this day, a Father's hand prepares the cup, and what he wills is best. Oh, we do thank thee for the electing love of the Father, for the redeeming love of the Son, for the sanctifying love of the Holy Ghost. We pray for this church and this congregation. Pray for our brethren, the deacons, that was richly bless them and endue them with power from on high. And do undertake for them in all their concerns. We pray for our brethren and sisters in church fellowship. And we pray that our hearts may be knit together in love. We pray for the whole of the congregation, that thy rich blessing may rest upon them. Remember the little ones and the children as they're brought into the sanctuary. Put thy holy fear in their hearts, in their young and in their tender years, and graciously guide them by thy counsel. Grant that thy word may be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. O Lord, we do beseech thee. We pray, most gracious Lord, for the young friends as they stand on the threshold of life's journey. Do bless them, teach them, bring them to living faith in Jesus Christ. Make them true followers of thee and of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Oh Lord, we do pray that those guide and direct them in all the matters of providence. Remember, O Lord, we do pray thee all in the midst of the journey of life, especially parents, give them wisdom to bring up their children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Grant that the family altar may be raised in the family, in the home, thy word read and prayer made. Lord, we do pray that thou in thy great mercy would remember those of us in the evening time of life's journey. And the outward man perishes, but may the inward man be renewed day by day. Make us more spiritually minded. Set our affections on things above. Draw my heart to thee, my Lord. Let me love thy precious word. Help us to love thee and serve thee and follow thee in our day, in our generation. Remember all in trouble or trial or affliction or perplexity or sorrow, sadness and bereavement. Lord, undertake for each one. We do humbly beseech thee. Thou knowest where each one is. Send out the glory, the light and the power of the gospel into this village. Grant the pulling down of the strongholds of Satan and the setting up of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus in the hearts of sinners. Make bare thine holy arm in the gospel. O Lord, we do beseech thee. Help us and grant us that determination to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. O Lord of hosts, O God of Israel, O thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. O Lord, do hear us, we pray thee. Remember all thy servants as they come in and out among this people. Grant that they may dip their foot in oil and be made acceptable unto the brethren. And grant this people, Lord, a living, settled ministry. One of thy servants to come in and out among them, to feed them with knowledge and with understanding. We pray thee, the great Lord of the harvest, to send true labourers into the harvest and to build the walls of Jerusalem. Remember those, O Lord, that labour in the gospel throughout the nations of the earth. We think of Ian Sadler and that in those many countries that he works, in the exposition of the word and the distribution of the word, Lord, we pray that thou would supply all his needs and graciously bless his endeavours to the great glory of thy name in the Far East and in Africa. Lord, bless him indeed. Remember the Mombasa mission and grant thy servant there needed grace and wisdom and help. We do humbly beseech thee and grant good success. Remember the Savannah Education Trust and that great work in Ghana. Oh, that it may redound to the glory and to the praise of thy great and holy name. Lord, remember our nation. Remember our leaders, all in authority over us. We pray that thou wouldst give them wisdom, guidance and direction. We live in truly solemn days, Lord, when the spirit of Antichrist is so prevalent. Do arise, we humbly beseech thee, in thy Zion, and return to Jerusalem with mercies. Bless our king and the royal household. We do humbly beseech thee. Bless them with that rich grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be with us, Lord, as we turn to thy holy word. Come and open thy word to our heart and to our understanding, that we may be enabled to delve into that deep that couches beneath. We ask with the forgiveness of all sin, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 292. 292. Amidst 10,000 dangers which everywhere abound, the pilgrims and the strangers alone secure are found. For on their Lord they're waiting, they seek him night and day. His aid they're supplicating in his appointed way. Hymn 292.
greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to the chapter that we read, the first chapter of Paul's epistle to the Colossians, and we will read verses 12 to 14. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It's very beautiful the way the dear apostle, under the divine influence and power of the Holy Ghost, so speaks of the glorious persons within the Trinity. There are three, as the Word of God says, there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And naturally speaking, we would say, how can one be three? And how can three be one? And yet that is the sacred mystery that we have set before us in God's holy word. The apostle speaks of that mystery in the second and third verses of chapter 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, that's the Holy Ghost, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Notice what he says, the full assurance of understanding. He puts it in another way in the Ephesians, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. These spiritual things are revealed. They're revealed in the holy word of God. And they are revealed by the Holy Spirit in the heart of true believers. The sacred doctrine of the Trinity is a very precious doctrine, in that these three are one. The scriptures maintain very clearly that there is but one God. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. One God. And in the last chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, and there in the sending forth of the disciples, the apostles, to preach the word. And so clearly there it states, baptizing them in the name. And these little words are very important, because contained in them is fundamental doctrine. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. Now, proper English would actually say, there's three names. It's plural, so it should say in the names. But it doesn't. And it purposely doesn't, because it's maintaining that precious doctrine, there is one God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The name. The one glorious name. There's a lovely word in the Epistle to the Ephesians in chapter 2, where the dear apostle speaks there, for through him He's speaking of the glorious person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, for through him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We have access through Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the way to bliss. In this way, the church has trod down from Adam's day to this, giving thanks unto the Father. It's called the Father of mercies, the God of all grace. We read in Holy Scripture of the electing love of the Father, the redeeming love of the Son, and the sanctifying love of the Holy Ghost. This one God, subsisting in the Godhead, these three divine persons. And we read in 1st Epistle of Peter chapter 1 verse 2. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. See, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. I actually rather like that reference that we have in the book of the Revelation. Again, speaking of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus speaking to John, and he says unto him in the commencement of the letters to the seven churches, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. That is a paraphrase of the name Jehovah. From him which is and which was and which is to come. That speaks of the eternity of God. He which is, which is now. He which is from all eternity. He which is to come, for eternity to come. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. That's another paraphrase on the name Jehovah. So in the commencement of this introduction, he's speaking of the Father initially, which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, seven being the number of perfection, completeness, speaking of the Holy Ghost, the eternal Spirit of the living God, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You see, these clear references that we have in Holy Scripture to that fundamental and sacred doctrine of the Trinity. Of course, right in the beginning of Holy Scripture, in the creation of man. And God said, let us. And God said, let us. The plural. So right in the beginning of Scripture, there is the reference to the Trinity. And the Tower of Babel was being built. And God said, let us go down. Again, referring to the Trinity. Remember reading a piece years ago now by John Owen, and it was on the spirit of love, and particularly on that word in the first epistle of John, God is love. Love essential, love eternal, love infinite, love almighty. God is love. Now, John Owen made this point. For love, there has to be more than one. God is love, is love from all eternity. But for love to be an exercise, there has to be more than one. And hence, there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hands. And the Son loves the Father. And the Spirit proceeds from them both. It says here in verse 8, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. These three divine persons, co-equal and co-eternal together, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And we have those lovely words in the 31st chapter of the prophet Jeremiah, verse 3. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Loved with an everlasting love. God's love is everlasting love. God's love is unchanging love. God's love is almighty love. God's love is infinite love. It is. It's as God is. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, as well as being a statement of fact, in a sense, there is a sacred doctrine here, giving thanks unto the Father. Those of you that are spiritual, those of you that know the truth as it is in Jesus, those of you that know yourselves to be poor sinners and your only hope is in the finished work of Christ, when was the last time you gave thanks unto the Father? It's a question, isn't it? Giving thanks unto the Father. The Lord Jesus, in his teachings, he says, Our Father which art in heaven, when they said, teach us how to pray. And he gave them that teaching, how to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. You see, our Father which art in heaven, giving thanks unto the Father. There's those lovely words of Christ in the Gospels. Whatsoever ye ask in my name, Christ is speaking. Who are we asking? The Father. Whatsoever ye ask in my name, I will do it. You see, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, made us ready, prepared us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The word saint literally means a sanctified person. The inheritance of the saints, a sanctified person. We just read in Peter of the sanctification of the Spirit. That word sanctification, it can be spoken not exclusively of the Spirit, because we read of the Father sanctifying a people. And we read of the Son sanctifying, he made unto us sanctification. And we read of the Spirit sanctifying the church. So these sacred truths, they're in the Godhead. You might say, how does the Father sanctify the church? Two ways. Firstly, by choosing them from all eternity in Christ his Son. And in that sense, they are sanctified in Christ by the Father. And secondly, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, proceedeth forth from the Father and the Son into the heart of those elect persons. They were chosen unto life, and the Holy Ghost enters into their heart, quickens their soul, shows them what they are as a poor, guilty, wretched sinner before a holy God, and then takes of the things of Jesus and reveals them unto us. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, some would isolate that to meaning the day of Pentecost, but that's completely wrong. When he has come to the heart of a sinner, when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. When he comes into the heart of a poor sinner, he witnesses in the heart that we're sinners. He will reprove. The margin actually says convince, which is a stronger word, which I prefer. He will convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's the divine work of the Spirit in the heart. He will convince of sin, that you and I are sinners. He will witness in our very hearts that we are sinners. Sin is any transgression of God's holy law. Scriptures are clear. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're sinners in our very natures. And it's when the Holy Ghost that comes in the heart and quickens the soul, he then makes us living so that we know, we begin to understand our state and our condition before a holy God, of sin, of righteousness. He will convince a sinner that God is righteous, God is holy, God is pure, God will not at all acquit the guilty. He will convince you of it. And of judgment. A witness in the soul that there's a day of judgment, that we must all appear at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ to give an account. There's a word used in most evangelical circles these days, and they say you are responsible. And they call it the doctrine of man's responsibility. You know, friends, you haven't got that word once in the whole of Scripture. It speaks of something else, and it's quite different. Accountability. We must all give an account unto God for the deeds that we have done in the body. We must all answer at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Ghost comes into the heart, he convinces a person that this is the case. And because he's given them life, they begin to pray. One of the marks, one of the evidences of divine life in the soul is prayer. Prayer that comes from the heart. We read of Saul of Tarsus when the Lord stopped him on the road to Damascus. Behold, he prayeth. He prayeth. You see, my beloved friends, this is the evidence of divine life in the heart. Prayer. Are you a praying soul? Do you feel you have a need? Do you have a concern? Do you have a burden? Do you feel that you're sinful? Do you have spiritual desires, longings? These are all evidences of spiritual life in the heart. and being made meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, being made ready. We sing, don't we, in that well-known hymn, "Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothed, and wash me in his blood, so shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God." You see, my beloved friends, when Christ is revealed, when Christ is revealed, remember many years ago now, chapel I used to go and preach at, a young man was baptized. And so the next time I went there, I went and shook hands with him and told him how pleased I was. I didn't receive a satisfactory answer at all. "Well, Mr. Rutt," he said, "I've been sitting in chapel ever since I was a tiny little boy. I know everything that the minister preaches and talks about. And he said, I thought it was time I got baptised." And that was his testimony. And I could not receive it. He didn't know anything about being a sinner. He didn't know anything about longings and yearnings after Christ. He just rubber stamped what he'd heard since he was a child. He's long since left our churches. You see, my beloved friends, is the Spirit of God working in your heart? If he isn't, there's that exceedingly solemn word in Romans chapter 8. And it's speaking of the Holy Ghost. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Spirit of Christ is the Holy Ghost. Remember, these three are one. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. You see, it's an inheritance. You might say, well, what is the significance of that? An inheritance. You don't purchase an inheritance. It is something that is freely given. You don't pay anything for it. It's given to you. And that's like that with salvation. You can't pay for it. You can't work for it. It's given. See, back again, we quoted to you from 1 Peter chapter 1. He goes on, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy." This verse was the verse that the Lord used to bring me into gospel liberty. "Which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively," that's a living hope, "by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold," that is many, "temptations, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Satan's power. Satan is the prince of darkness. The prince of darkness. His kingdom is a kingdom of darkness and of bondage. The gospel delivers us from that kingdom of darkness and bondage, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Darkness has a tremendous power. You know, friends, I can speak from my own experience here, and I've no doubt there are those of you here also that can. But when Satan, we read of it in Holy Scripture, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the enemy is Satan. When the enemy comes in like a flood, with temptations, with suggestions, he comes in like a flood into the mind, into your very soul. What is the result? Darkness. Darkness. I remember it very particularly in my own early spiritual days. I was sorely tempted of Satan. One of the temptations was that Jesus was not the Son of God. And that temptation, it lasted several weeks. Searched and searched and searched and couldn't find in Scripture. I almost began to believe the temptation that he was not the Son of God. And I was up in the, as when I was single, sitting up until the early hours of the morning, reading, because I was so troubled. And I came to Proverbs chapter 8, and all the wonderful light that flowed into my heart. It's Christ that is speaking there in Proverbs chapter 8. And he says this, I was set up from everlasting. And you know, friends, it was as if the scales fell off my eyes. Light and life flowed into my soul. I was set up from everlasting. Now, just as that temptation blinded me, because I searched and searched in Scripture, once that was revealed, afterwards, I could find it almost everywhere in Scripture. And as I was reading, I think, oh, look at that. He's the eternal Son of God. You know, friends, when the Spirit of God really deeply impresses us on our hearts, the doctrine of truth, by an experience in our hearts, is something that nobody will ever move you from. Not the devil nor all his angels will. Because it's deeply impressed in your heart. And you see it so clearly. And nobody can shake you from it. Jesus is the eternal Son of God, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Into the kingdom of his dear son. You know, in the next epistle, the epistle to the Thessalonians, the first epistle there, the apostle, he speaks of this, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And he says here, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. We are not the children of the night. We are the children of the day. You think of those lovely words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6. About God causing the light to shine. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness have shined into our hearts with the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That glorious light. Christ says in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. This is the true light. I love the opening passage of John's Gospel where it speaks of light and life, the light and life that is in Christ. And in his very person as being the eternal Son of God. In the beginning was the Word. That term, the Word, refers to the divine nature of the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word. And that term, beginning, it means exactly the same as it does in right in the beginning of Scripture. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. That means from all eternity. He is before all things. In the beginning. There is an, in essence, in that word, eternity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light, the glory of that light that shines in Jesus Christ, the light of salvation, the light of redemption, the light of the everlasting love of God. That light that shines in Jesus Christ, a way of deliverance. To poor, lost, ruined, wretched, helpless, hopeless sinners. Maybe you've come to chapel and you're so burdened and so pressed with darkness, with bondage. You see, there's only one way to be delivered from that, and that is by our Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, to shine into our hearts. To shine into our hearts, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. According to these metaphors in Holy Scripture, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Light represents the glory and holiness of God. Darkness represents Satan and sin and the corruption that is in this world. This glorious light that shines in Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us. See, my beloved friends, we have to be translated. If you have a marginal reference, the alternative word for translated is transferred, who hath transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The kingdom of light. The kingdom of hope. It is. Kingdom of salvation, the kingdom of redemption. He's translated us, hath translated us. He did it first in those eternal councils of the everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. That was all done then before the foundation of the world. Think of what, again, in the first chapter of Peter, such beautiful things in 1 Peter chapter 1. For as much as ye are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. What does that mean? It means in the eternal counsels of the Almighty God, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, in those eternal counsels of his everlasting love, to deliver from the ruins of the Adam fall. See, God knows everything, friends. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God lives in eternity. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. And just as he knows everything that is past, he knows everything which is to come. In Proverbs 8, he says, I am understanding. Doesn't say he has understanding. I am understanding. He knows all things. There's nothing he does not know. And all things were purposed and decreed by this eternal God. For as much as ye are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. How this glorious Lamb, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You know, those of you that labour under your sin, under your helplessness, under your wretchedness, under your insufficiency, under your poverty, you feel it. He says, come unto me. This is the words of Jesus, the Son of God. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, that be united to Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Rest for your souls. The rest of faith in the finished work of Christ, in the precious blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. From all sin, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, in those sacred promises in the Old Testament, speaking of the coming of Christ and of what Christ would do, and what does he say? Their sins. Who? The sins of the church. The sins of the church, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I'll remember them no more. They are just like the scapegoat on the Day of Atonement. One was sacrificed, that's a beautiful type of the sacrifice of Christ. The other was taken by the hand of a fit man. In one sense, that's a beautiful type of the resurrection of Christ. But what happened to that goat before it was taken into the wilderness? The high priest laid his hands on its head and ceremonially passed all the sins of the children of Israel onto that goat. And then it was taken into the land not inhabited, never to be seen again. What a beautiful type of Christ. When he suffered and bled and died for the sins of his people, he rose again for their justification. I often say it, because I think it's such a beautiful, simple illustration. Dear Mr. Wood, the late Mr. Wood, used to say concerning justification, the meaning of it, just as if I had not sinned. What a beautiful way of putting it. That's what justification means. Just as if I had not sinned. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Just as if I had not sinned. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption. You know, in that beautiful narrative in the book of Ruth, and Boaz is a lovely type of Christ. Ruth and Naomi were completely destitute. They couldn't redeem their lands. I went out full, I came home again empty. She had nothing. What a picture of a poor sinner, destitute, nothing. Boaz is a mighty man of wealth. What a type of Christ. He had the power to redeem. And he redeemed them. He brought everything that pertained unto Naomi and Ruth, the Moabitess. Fear not, my daughter, all that thou requirest I will do for thee. They were the words of Boaz to Ruth. What a beautiful type of Christ he is. All that thou fear not, all that thou requirest I will do for thee. He purchased everything that belonged to her. But where did it end? As Gadsby puts it in his hymn, and she became his bride. He married her. And that's what Christ does to a poor sinner. He says, I am married unto you. I am married unto you. What a sacred union there is between Christ and his church. How precious. You know, in the latter part of the Ephesians in chapter 5, and the apostle, he says there, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You just think of that. A poor, wretched, filthy, hell-deserving sinner. Holy and without blemish. How? How can it be? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through the precious blood of the Lamb. Through the suffering and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. You see, this is a great mystery, says the apostle, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That profound mystery that is in Christ and the church. You know, in this inheritance which we've already looked at, incorruptible and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God, listen to the sacred words of Jesus Christ. These words, John 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom I have sent. He goes on in that beautiful prayer in John 17. And he says, that they all may be one. This is the church. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And then finally, this beautiful word, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, the apostle, he goes on here speaking of the person of Christ. And for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. The fullness resides in Jesus our head, and ever abides to answer our need. In him there is a fullness of grace. In him there's a fullness of power. Yes, he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. May the Lord add his blessing.
God willing, Sunday school will be at Bethany this afternoon. Mr. Timothy Pocock will preach on Tuesday evening. On Friday evening, the church members will meet for prayer at 8 o'clock. And Mr. Timothy Parrish is engaged to preach next Lord's Day and to address the Sunday school. Our closing hymn is number 286. 286. Pilgrims we are, to Canaan bound. Our journey lies along this road, this wilderness we travel round, to reach the city of our God. Hymn 286.
Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.